Hello friends, we are on chapter 16, a very important chapter because up till now we have seen various ways in which corporate lending can be done. However, there are certain restrictions also, and when we talk about restrictions, there are different types of restrictions put on advances or lending. So this chapter will help us to understand various restrictions imposed on the advances. So in short, if we have to understand what the different types of restrictions, we can specifically categorize that into three types: statutory restrictions, regulatory restrictions, and restrictions on other loans and advances. Now we'll look at each of this and understand what are the different types of restrictions that are fitting into each of this subcategory. First, let us take restrictions on advances, which are statutory restrictions. Statutory means they are mandated by a statute or government. And these restrictions are advances against bank's own shares. No bank can advance against its own shares. Advance to bank directors. Restrictions on power to remit debits. Restrictions on holding shares in companies. Restrictions on credit to companies for buyback of their securities. So these are the main categories of statutory restrictions. What are the regulatory restrictions? Regulatory restrictions are listed as granting loans and advances to relatives of directors, restrictions on grant of loans and advances to officers and relatives of senior officers of the banks. Third important regulatory restriction is restriction on granting of financial assistance to industries producing, consuming ozone depleting substances. Fourth restriction is on restriction advances against sensitive commodities under selective credit control. Fifth one is restriction on payment of commission to staff members, including officers. Restrictions on offering incentives to any banking or incentives on any banking products. So these are specifically categorized under regulatory restrictions. Let us see the third category, that is restrictions on other loans and advances. Loans and advances against shares, debentures and bonds, advances to individuals, advances to shares and stock brokers, commodity brokers, bank finance for market makers, advance to individual against shares to joint stock holders or third party beneficiaries, financing of IPOs, bank finance to assist employees to buy shares of their own companies, bank loans for financing promoters' contribution, advances against units of mutual funds, financing for acquisition of equity in overseas companies. So these sub-items of this category are self-explanatory, and one has to keep in mind, if one has to categorize a particular restriction to which category, then this particular list of these three categories will help us to understand what are the different types of restrictions on advances. Now let us see one by one each one of this, or as many of this. Advances against the bank's own shares. This restriction is specifically coming. This is specifically a statutory restriction. And when we talk about statute, the statute is Section 20, Subsection 1 of Banking Regulation Act 1949. What does this provision say? A bank cannot grant any loan and advance on the security of its own shares. So when it is a statutory restriction, it has to be complied with, no option available. Second is advances to bank directors. Here again, it is a statutory restriction. Again, the law is Banking Regulation Act 1949. It lays down restrictions on loans and advances to the directors and firms in which they hold substantial interest. Banks are prohibited from entering into commitment for granting any loans to or on behalf of any of its directors or any of its firms in which any of its director is interested as partner, manager, employee or guarantor. So this restriction on the advances to directors has to be complied with. A third type of restriction, again a statutory restriction coming from Banking Regulation Act 1949, that is restriction on power to remit debts, stipulates that a banking company shall not accept with the prior approval of the Reserve Bank remit in whole or in part of any debt to it by any of its directors, any firm or a company in which of any of its directors is interested, any individual, if any of its director, his partner or guarantor. So no right to remit the debts unless it is approved by Reserve Bank of India, any remission made in contravention of the provision stated above shall be void and have no effect. Next important restriction, again a statutory restriction coming from Banking Regulation Act 949, bank should not hold shares in any company except as pledge, mortgage, he or absolute owner of an amount exceeding 30% of the paid up share capital of that company. So the first criteria of this cap is 30% of the paid up share capital of the company or 30% of its own paid up share capital and reserves, whichever is less. So this is specific criteria regarding restriction on holding shares. Bank should not hold shares whether as pledge, mortgagee or absolute owner in any company in the management of which any managing director or manager of the bank is in any manner concerned or interested. Next important restriction is on credit to companies for buyback of their securities. Companies are permitted by Companies Act 2013 to purchase their own shares or other specified securities only and only out of the free reserves or securities premium account or the proceeds of any shares or the specified securities. Bank should not provide loans to companies for buyback of shares and securities because Companies Act specifically says whichever company has to make a buyback, they have to make the buyback exclusively out of this resource, and bank should not provide loans to companies for buyback of shares or securities. So that is all about your statutory restrictions, which we have understood in detail. Now let us look at one after the other, the restrictions which are called as regulatory restrictions. Number one is granting loans and advances to relatives of directors. Without prior approval of the board or without the knowledge of the board, no loans and advance should be granted to the relatives of the bank's chairman, managing director or other directors. So this is one important regulatory restriction. Next important regulatory restriction is lending to directors and their relatives on reciprocal basis. Unless sanctioned by the board or the managing committee, bank should not grant loans and advances aggregating rupees 25 lakhs and above to the directors, to any firm in which any of the directors are interested, any company in which of the directors holds substantial interest. So this is specific restrictions on lending to directors and their relatives on reciprocal basis. Next important regulatory restriction is lending to directors and their relatives on reciprocal. This is continuation. Unless sanctioned by the board of directors or the managing committee, banks also should not grant loans and advances aggregating 25 lakhs and above to any relatives other than spouse and minor, any firm in which the relatives other than spouse and minor, dependent children, as mentioned in A and above, is interested, any company in which any of the relatives other than a spouse and minor dependent above, as mentioned A and B above, holds substantial interest, is interested as a director or as a guarantor. So this is in continuation to restriction on lending to directors and the relatives on reciprocal basis. There is one more provision in this, the proposal for credit facilities of an amount less than 25 lakhs. So in the previous slide, we saw the proposal more than 25 lakhs. Here there is a provision for specific lending for less than 25 lakhs may be sanctioned by the appropriate authority in the financing bank under powers vested in such authority, but the matter should be reported to the board. So any proposal less than 25 lakhs may be sanctioned by the appropriate authority. However, such sanction has to be reported to the board. Next important restriction is on grant on loans and advances to officers and relatives of senior officers of the bank. The statutory regulations or the rules or conditions of the service applicable to the officers or employees indicate to a certain extent the precautions to be observed while sanctioning credit facilities to such officers and employees. Every organization have this specific rules and conditions of service. Based on that, the restrictions on grant of loans and advances to officers and relatives of senior officers of the bank have to be complied with. Next, we look into application of guidelines in case of consortium arrangements where multiple banks are involved in financing. In the case of consortium arrangements, the norms related to grant of credit facilities to relative of senior officers of the bank will apply to the relatives of senior officers of all the participating banks. Restriction on grant of financial assistance to industries producing, consuming ozone depleting substance. Ozone depletion causes serious harm to the environment and creates pollution. So banks should not extend finance for setting up of new units consuming, producing the above said ozone depleting substances. So this is a specific restriction on grant of financial assistance to industries producing, consuming ozone depleting substance. Next important restriction on the advances against the sensitive commodities under the selective credit control with a view to preventing speculative holdings. Selective credit control was specifically introduced for preventing speculative holdings of essential commodities with the help of bank and credit the resultant rise in the prices. So holding creates black marketing, it increases the prices. So Reserve Bank of India has issued directions to all commercial banks stipulating specific restrictions on banks' advances against specific sensitive commodities. This has to be strictly adhered by all banks under selective credit control. Restriction on payment of commission to staff members including officers. Let us see whether any bank can pay commission to staff members including its officers. A banking company shall not employ or continue the employment of any person whose remuneration or part of the remuneration takes the form of a commission or a share in the profits of the company. So that is not allowed. Payment of commission is permitted to any person who is employed only otherwise than as a regular staff. So those specifically employed on contract basis or on commission basis, except those no other regular employee can be paid commission. Restriction offering incentives on banking products. We see a lot of mobilization is done by attracting customers for buying products for giving incentives, whether that is allowed. Banks should not offer any banking products including online remittance schemes with prizes, lotteries, free trips in India and or abroad, etc., or any other incentives having an element of chance, except inexpensive gifts costing not more than ₹250. So the maximum cap is ₹250. Besides, beyond that is strictly not allowed. So that's all is on our regulatory restrictions. Now we move to the third category of restrictions on advance, that is restrictions on other loans and advances. The first comes into this is loans and advances against shares, debentures and bonds. Banks are required to strictly observe regulatory restrictions on grant of loans and advances against shares, debentures and bonds. Advances to individuals. Bank may grant advances against the security of shares to individuals. The purpose of the loan is to meet contingencies and personal needs. Amount of advance should not exceed ₹10 lakhs per individual of securities if you're held in physical form and ₹20 lakhs per individual if it is held in the DMAT form. So there is a cap on lending to individual based on whether the security is held in physical or in the DMAT form. Next in line is the margin. My bank should maintain a minimum margin of 50% because this security prices are highly volatile, and hence it is prescribed to have a 50% margin on first 50% of the market value of equity shares, convertible debentures held in physical form, and in case of shares or convertible debentures held in the DMAT form, a minimum margin of 25% is to be maintained. Lending policy, each bank should formulate with the approval of the board of directors a loan policy for grant of advances to individuals against shares, debentures, bonds, keeping in view the RBI guidelines. So RBI has already prescribed guidelines. Based on that, each bank should formulate with the approval of the board of directors a specific policy for lending against shares, debentures and bonds to individuals. Next important restriction is advances to shares and stock brokers or commodity brokers. In the previous slide, we saw restriction on advances to individuals. Now, this particular slide talks about restrictions to stockbrokers or the commodity brokers. Banks and their subsidiaries should not undertake financing of badla transactions because there is lack of documentation in such transactions. Shares and stockbrokers, commodity brokers may be provided need-based overdraft facilities, line of credit against shares and debentures held by them as stock in trade. When we talk about need-based securities, this is purely from a business point of view, and that too taking into consideration the stock in trade. The ceiling of ₹10 lakhs, ₹20 lakhs will not be applicable. As we have seen in the previous slide, the ceiling was applicable for individuals for shares held in the physical form or held in the DMAT form. These ceilings won't be applicable over here, but it should be need-based. Banks may grant working capital facilities to stockbrokers registered with SEBI to meet the cash flow gap. So here again, brokers have to be registered with SEBI. Only then they become eligible for this advance. Next important category is bank finance for market makers. Market makers also play a very important role. Banks may provide need-based finance to meet the genuine credit requirements only and only of approved market makers. Banks should lay down the appropriate norms for financing them, including the exposure limits, method of valuation, etc. Banks loans for financing promoters contribution, because promoters also need money for contributing to meet the requirements of capital for their company, and whether banks can finance for contributing to the capital to promoters. The promoter's contribution towards the equity capital of a company should come from their own resource, and banks should not normally grant advances to take up shares of other companies. However, banks are permitted to extend loans to corporates against the security of shares held by them. So when we talk about security of shares held by them, there is some collateral existing, but it should not be specifically meant for taking control of other companies. Next important restriction is advance against units of mutual funds. The units should be listed in the stock exchanges, or repurchase facility for the units should be available at the time of lending. The unit should have completed the minimum locking period stipulated in the relevant scheme. The amount of advances should be linked to the net asset value, repurchase price, or the market value, whichever is less, and not to the face value of the units. These are the specific guidelines needs to be followed in case of advances against units of mutual funds. And finally, advances against units of mutual funds, except units of exclusively debt-oriented mutual funds, would attract the quantum and the margin requirements. And next, we look at the restrictions on advances against fixed deposit receipts issued by other banks. Can a bank make finance or provide finance against the fixed deposit receipts issued by other banks? Banks should desist from sanctioning advances against the fixed deposit receipts or the term deposit receipts of other banks. This is a specific restriction put on the banks not to finance against the fixed deposit receipts of other banks. Next important restriction, advances against NRE, FCNR, and other deposits related to the category, and what is the quantum of loans. Grant of advances against NRE and FCNR deposits would be subject to guidelines issued under the Foreign Exchange Management Act 1999. Advances to agents, intermediaries based on consideration of deposit mobilization. So here also there is a restriction over here. Banks should resist from being party to unethical practices of raising resources through agents, intermediaries to meet the credit needs of existing or prospective borrowers, or from granting loans to intermediaries based on the consideration of deposit mobilization, who may not require funds for the genuine business requirements. So only genuine business requirements cases should be considered by the banks. Loan against certificate of deposits. Banks cannot grant loan against certificate of deposits. Banks are also not permitted to buy back their own certificate of deposits before the maturity. However, a review was made and it has been decided to relax the restrictions on lending or buyback until further notice, only in respect of the CDs held by the mutual funds. Next important restriction is on finance for loans advances against Indian depository receipts, popularly known as the IDRs. No bank should grant any loan or advance for subscription to Indian depository receipts. Further, no bank should grant any loan or advance against security collateral of IDR issued in India. So financing against IDR is also not possible. Banks cannot grant any loan advance for subscription for Indian depository receipt. And further, no bank should grant any loan advance against the security of IDRs issued. Next important restriction is on bank finance to non-banking finance companies, popularly known as NBFCs. Banks should not grant bridge loans of any nature or interim finance against the capital debenture issued and or in the form of loans of a bridging nature. So this is a restriction specifically on granting the bridge loans, especially to the NBFCs. And this is pending raising of long-term funds from the market by way of capital deposit, etc., to all categories of the non-banking finance companies. Next, we look at the financing infrastructure housing project, popularly known as the housing finance. Banks should not grant finance for construction of buildings meant purely for government or semi-government offices. However, banks may grant loans for activities which will be refinanced by institutions such as NABARD. Guidelines for infrastructure projects. Further, bank FIIs are free to finance technically feasible, financially viable and bankable projects. So there is no restrictions on this particular aspect, which are undertaken by both public sector and private sector undertaking. Now we look at the different types of financing done by the banks. So now we look at the types of financing by banks. The first one is credit facility by way of working capital. This we have already seen in our previous chapters. Next, three are very important. The takeout financing, inter-institutional guarantees and financing promoter's equity. So these are the different types of financing by banks. However, what we need to see is the specific provisions that are made for specific types of advances, like advance for purchase of gold and lending against gold bullion, coins and the primary gold. This you have to carefully note and understand. Number one, no advance should be granted by banks for purchase of gold in any form, including the primary gold, the gold bullion, the gold jewelry, the gold coins, the unit of gold exchange traded funds and unit of gold mutual funds. So no financing can be done specifically for purchase of gold in any form. However, banks can provide finance for genuine working capital requirements of the jewelers. Because what happens is gold creates a lot of external payments and the foreign currency gets impacted. So it's a very important point for ensuring that no advances are granted by gold banks for purchase of gold in any form. Banks should not grant any advance against bullion, primary gold. However, there would be no objection to the bank granting loans against specifically minted gold coins sold by the bank. So this exception is applicable in case of specifically minted gold coins by the banks, whereas otherwise banks should not grant any advance against the bullion or the primary gold. Next important aspect regarding advances against the gold and the jewelry of gold is specifically on the LTV, loan to value ratio. Loans sanctioned by the bank against the pledge of gold ornaments and jewelry for non-agricultural purpose should not exceed 75% of the value of the old ornaments and gold ornaments and the jewelry. So the LTV stands to 75%, and this has to be followed, especially a look at for advances against the gold ornaments and the jewelry. Next important type of advance, we look at the gold metal loans. This is quite different from your gold jewelry. Nominated banks can extend the gold metal loans to exporters of jewelry who are customers of other scheduled commercial banks by expecting the standby letter of credit or bank guarantee issued by their bankers in favor of nominated banks, subject to authorized banks' own norms for lending and other conditions stipulated by RBI. So here specifically it is provided that gold nominated banks can extend gold metal loans to exporters of jewelry who are customers of other scheduled banks, and that too by accepting a standby letter of credit or a bank guarantee. So this are to be complied very clearly in case of advances against gold metal loans. Next important category is loans and advances to real estate sector. So let us see what provisions are applicable for real estate sector. Banks should ensure borrowers have obtained prior permission from government. So this is very important, not just government. When we talk about government, it also includes your local governments and statutory authorities for the project wherever required. So based on the jurisdiction of the authority, all those prior approvals needs to be obtained whenever there is a finance or advance to be made to the real estate sector. The proposal should be sanctioned in normal course and the disbursement should be made only after the borrower has obtained requisite clearances from the government authorities, because we have seen lots of real estate projects get stuck for lack of clearances. And that is the reason specifically this provision is, disbursement should happen only after the borrower has obtained the requisite clearances from all the government authorities. Next we see loans and advances to the micro and small enterprises, the MSME sector. MSME units have working capital limits up to rupees 5 crores from the banking system to be provided working capital finance computed on the basis of 20% of their projected annual turnover. This is specifically applicable for this MSE category. Banks should not adopt a simplified procedure in respect of MSE units, both new as well as existing. Next important provision is for lending under the consortium arrangement or multi-banking arrangement. When we talk about consortium or multi-banking arrangement, here the financing is done not by just one bank, but a large number of banks coming together to finance a big ticket. At the time of granting fresh facilities, bank may obtain declaration from the borrowers about the credit facilities already enjoyed by them from other banks. So even that consortium banks need to know what are the existing facilities already taken by that borrower from other banks. Subsequently, banks should exchange information about the conduct of the borrower's account with other banks at least at quarterly intervals so that all the member banks are aware about the status of the borrower, obtain regular certification by a professional, preferably a company secretary or a chartered accountant or a cost accountant regarding the compliances of various statutory prescriptions that are involved. So all compliances are to be adhered with and it has to be certified by a professional like a CACS or an ICWA. Next important provisions under consortium arrangements are make greater use of credit reports available from a credit information company which has obtained a certificate of registration from RBI, those four or five we have already seen, and of which bank is a member, and bank should incorporate suitable clauses in the loan agreement in future at the time of next renewal in case of existing facilities regarding the exchange of credit information so as to address the confidentiality issues. Next important provision is on the working capital finance to information technology and the software industry. What is the provision? RBI has framed guidelines for extending the working capital to the information technology and the software industry. So RBI guidelines has to be strictly adhered to. And what is RBI guidelines saying? Banks are free to modify the guidelines based on their own experience without reference to Reserve Bank of India to achieve the purpose of the guidelines, but this has to be in letter and spirit. Next, we move to guidelines for banking finance for PSU disinvestment for Government of India. Banks should ensure that the promoter's contribution towards the equity capital of a company should come from their own resources. Banks should not normally grant advances to take up shares of other companies. These provisions are quite overlapping, which we have seen in the previous slides. Banks should also ensure that advances in shares are not used to enable the borrower to acquire or retain the controlling interest. This also we have seen in our previous slides. And these guidelines will not apply in the case of bank finance to successful bidders under the PSU disinvestment programs of the government subject to certain conditions. So only those government disinvestment programs are an exception to these rules. Otherwise, all these guidelines have to be strictly followed by banks. Next, we look at grant of loans for acquisition of Kisan Vikas Patra. These are the post office certificates. Banks should ensure that no loans are sanctioned for acquisition of investing in these small scheming instruments, because the basic purpose of these instruments is to mobilize the savings from the households or the savers. So here banks are strictly advised not to advance loans, or no loans are sanctioned for acquisition or investing in the small saving instruments, which includes the Kisan Vikas Patra. Next, we look at the 7% saving bonds, 6.5% saving bonds, 8% saving bonds as a collateral security. What are the provisions relating with this type of securities? The holder of the this particular bonds will be entitled to create pledge or hypothecation or lien of bonds issued under the caption scheme as collateral for obtaining loans from scheduled banks. So scheduled banks are permitted to advance against pledge or hypothecation of the securities, and this is in accordance with Section 28 of the Government Securities Act 2006 and Regulations 21 and 22 of Government Securities Regulations 2007. So based on these government regulations, such type of advance can be granted against pledge or hypothecation of this particular government securities. Next, we look at the guidelines on settlement of non-performing assets, especially obtaining consent decree from the court. Banks must ensure that once a case is filed before a court or a debt recovery tribunal or a BIFR, any settlement that is arrived at with the borrower is subject to obtaining a consent decree from the court or a DRT or a BIFR concerned. It cannot happen bilaterally. A consent decree has to be obtained from the court when the matter is before the court or the DRT or a BIFR. So this has to be strictly adhered by the bank. It has to ensure once a case is filed before DRT, it is subject to obtaining, the settlement is subject to obtaining a consent decree from the court or the DRT or the BIFR concerned. Next important aspect is the project finance portfolio of the banks. Banks should in their own interest have a clear policy regarding the debt equity ratio and to ensure that the infusion of equity or fund by the promoters should be such that the stipulated level of the debt equity ratio is maintained at all times. Next important provision is on the bridge loans against receivables from government. Banks should not extend bridge loans. There are specific restrictions on bridge loans in specific scenarios. Banks should not extend bridge loans against amounts receivable from central or the state government by way of subsidies, refunds, reimbursements, capital contributions, subject to certain exemptions. Banks should put in place a board-approved policy with regard to takeover of accounts from another banks, because lots of such attractions are provided for transferring accounts from one bank to another, and there is a provision over here. Banks should put in place a board-approved policy with regard to the takeover of accounts from other banks. In addition, before taking over of an account, the transferee bank should obtain necessary credit information from the transferor bank. So no transferee bank should take a bad loan from the transferor bank before it takes over. The transferee bank should obtain necessary credit information from the transferor bank. Thank you.